We are excited for him, and we're excited for his family. But we're also excited for something else going on this morning, and we have two people from Livingstone Church who are going to get baptized. As you all know, if you've not been around for the past few weeks, Livingstone Church, which I pastor, have been meeting jointly with Fellowship Bible Church for the past few weeks. Pastor Stephen and I, we've known each other for almost two decades now. We both served at the Congregation Lion of Judah before he came to become your pastor here. And in recent weeks, we thought maybe it will be a good thing for both churches to join together and start having fellowship, literally, together. So today, part of some of the things that we've been able to accomplish in recent months as a church is discipling people, which obviously after someone give their life to Christ, you know that leads to an act of faith or a declaration of faith, a public declaration of faith, which is symbolized in baptism. So today you're going to witness that. We invite you to join with us. Of course, we have another church that meets right after. So you're going to see what you're going to see happen. It's going to be a shortened version of a sermon so that we could leave room for the baptism ceremony. And then a little bit of time for people to change and meet and greet each other. And then we can make our exit so that the other church can come in on time. All right? So what I will be sharing with you is not your typical sermon. And of course, you can only do these things when it's summertime. So summertime, you get a lot of breaks. You get a lot of freedom to do a lot of things. So what I'll be sharing with you is titled A Word on Baptism. It's going to sound more like a catechism than it would a sermon. But there's nothing wrong with that. So I have two objectives for you today. One is, if you've not been baptized in water, that by the time I'm through, you'll be excited of getting baptized. If I achieve this, oh, praise the Lord. Number two, if you've been baptized already, by the time I'm through, that it will cause you to rejoice that you've been baptized. If I can meet these two objectives, then we're doing well. If you've not been baptized, at the end of the service, you will find someone, you maybe me or someone else, say, you know what? I think that baptism thing is for real. I really want it for myself. But if you've been baptized, at the end of this, you would rejoice and thank God that you've been baptized. Amen? Does that sound like a plan? Yeah. All right, so let's go into prayer. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you would give me a fresh download of your Spirit and enabling me, Lord, to communicate your truth to your people so that their hearts would be excited about who you are, about what you've done, about your provision, Lord, about what the gospel offers. But also, Lord, if someone hasn't been baptized yet, that they would see Jesus Christ as being so attractive that they would commit their lives to you, Lord. Also, Father God, if somebody, if people have been baptized already, as most people are, that they would rejoice over what you've done for us, over your provision for us, Lord. So we thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory. We pray particularly for Alex and Vanessa, who are making a commitment today. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will seal that commitment for the rest of their lives. We thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Good morning again, church. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Francois. I am the pastor of Livingstone Church, and we join in, as you've heard, we've been doing joint services with Fellowship Bible Church over the past few weeks. Good friends with Pastor Stephen and his wife, and some members of Livingstone are here, and you probably see them. We're wearing name tags so that we can have an easier conversation with each other. So let me start off with what I wanted to share with you with respect to baptism. What is it about baptism? Why is baptism such a special thing? Why do Christians get baptized? Oh, say that again. It's a declaration. It is a declaration. You know what baptism is? You know, people. You know, Christians who don't get baptized are like a guy who's dating a girl, and then they've been dating for 10 years, and then she's just not good enough to be proposed to. That's exactly what baptism is. Baptism is like that. Meaning, that's exactly what refusal to get baptized is like for those who've been Christians for a long time. It's like they've been dating Jesus. Oh, this Jesus guy is so cool. We got morning coffee, we got afternoon tea, we have nightly prayers, but he's just not worth it. He's just not worth my life to be committed to. Therefore, I won't propose to him. So baptism is you saying, that's it. There is no other, there's none other. I'm giving my life to you for the rest of my life. I'm making a public declaration. It's the exact same thing when a guy goes and proposes to a woman, right? I remember doing that once in a foreign country called Canada. I went on one knee. It was a mixture of French and English. But my wife, then she understood, and she said yes. But I did that publicly because I thought she was worth it, and she is. So that's why we do it. So in the Roman Empire, when Christians were being persecuted, it was important for someone to make it clear which side they were on, whose allegiance they had. That's why Christians emphasize, that's why the Bible, the New Testament, emphasizes Jesus as Lord. Because in those days, Caesar was Lord. So it wasn't enough for the Christian to say, well, we believe that Jesus is Lord. It's good. Well, Paul says, well, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Yeah, but there's one more step to that. After you've believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you demonstrate that lordship publicly through water baptism. That's that declaration. So we believe, so the Reformed tradition, the Protestant Reformed tradition is this, which is what Fellowship Bible Church is a part of. We believe that baptism is an ordinance of the Lord by which those who have repented and come to faith in Jesus Christ, they express their union with Christ in his death and resurrection, and they do so by being immersed in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It is a sign of belonging to the new people of God. And it's also an emblem of burial and cleansing. I'm going to spend some time on that. It's an emblem of burial and cleansing. That's probably one of my favorite signs about when it comes to baptism. It's an emblem of burial and cleansing, signifying death to the old life of unbelief and purification from the pollution of sin. All of that is scripture, and I'm going to take you through all these definitions in a moment. Right? Number one, it's a sign of belonging to the new people of God. Number two, it's an emblem of burial and cleansing, signifying death to the old life of unbelief and purification from pollution of sin. Well, first, I told you it was an ordinance from the Lord. Where is that found? Matthew 28. You remember when Jesus was departing earth? He walked with his disciples, Matthew 28, 19 to 20. And then as he was leaving, as he was ascending to the heavens, and here's what he says. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. You see, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Make disciples. By the way, in Matthew 28, that passage, make disciples, that expression there, it's almost like when you're saying it, having gone. It's like Jesus telling them, as you go, as you live your life on this earth, as you are being Christians, this is what I expect you to do. Make disciples. And when you're making those disciples, you baptize them and you teach them. Meaning, as you make those disciples, you don't just make people who are halfway through, halfway committed to the cause of Christ. You don't have closet Christians. By the way, baptism is, if you are struggling with telling people that you are a Christian, baptism will help you break that stronghold. Because baptism is the public declaration of your faith. You see that? So if you're struggling at work to tell people that you're a Christian, if you're struggling in the neighborhood to let people know that you belong to Christ, baptism is the first public sign that, hey, everybody, guess what? I'm one of those Christians. I belong to Jesus Christ. So as we make disciples, that's the first thing. Discipleship starts with a high level of commitment. It starts with a price to be paid. It starts with someone making a public declaration. That's what baptism helps us to do. That's what baptism reminds us of. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. Baptism, when you're making a public declaration of your faith, you get baptized, but you also teach, Jesus said, teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. Guess what? Well, teach them to obey what? Teach them to obey the fact that when they give their life, when they believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, when they confess with their mouth that God raised him from the dead, they need to get baptized. Teach them to obey that as well. Teach them to obey that as well. So I'm pretty sure Pastor Stephen has gone through this with you all several times before, but it bears repeating. If you've not been baptized yet, guess what? And if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, guess what? You need to get baptized if you've not done so yet. Teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. Jesus says get baptized. That's part of what he's commanded us to do. Amen? So baptism is a command. It's an ordinance of the Lord. Jesus himself got baptized to set an example, to show us the way it's done. But there's more to it. Baptism is by immersion. Water. By the way, this is a very controversial thing. If you were raised, they call that pedo Baptist, or if you were raised Presbyterian, Reform, or if you were raised Roman Catholic, guess what? Baptism is done differently. I will not debate this point today. I'll let Pastor Stephen deal with it. You see, while he's on vacation, I stir the water and create trouble. And then he comes back and he has to, you know, work it out. But folks at Livingstone Church, we know that baptism is by immersion. Why? Because all the signs that we see in Scripture are like that. Okay? So I'll show you. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Let's see. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Romans 6, 3, 4. Should be faster with this. All right, look at this. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. I love this passage. I love this passage. Don't you know that when you go through water baptism, it's like you are dead? And I love talking about this because that's good news for a lot of us. That's good news for a lot of us because a lot of us, before we knew Christ, we struggled with a lot of things. But the water baptismal experience, or that baptismal experience through water, reminds us that that which had power over you before Christ no longer has power over you after Christ. Why is that? And here's the pure logic. Because of one word in this passage. Dead. You're dead. I've got news for you. You can't accuse a dead person. You cannot call a dead person to court. Because the only way the enemy can have his way in your life is, you know how the Bible says the enemy is called what? The accuser of the brethren. You know why the enemy is called the accuser of the brethren? It's because when we sin, God the Father sits up in judgment. The enemy comes, and then the enemy now is like a prosecuting attorney. And is saying, like, so-and-so is so evil. He needs to be condemned, or she needs to be condemned. And then now God is the judge, according to his rule, according to his law, according to the principles that he established. He is supposed to condemn you, because that's the principle he established. God cannot deny himself. But The only way that could happen is before someone gets condemned in court, they have to receive a summons. They have to receive a summons. But in order for you to be summoned to court, to appear in court, you have to have an address. Last I checked, dead people don't have addresses. You may have a plot number, but that's about it. Last I checked, you need to enter a plea when you summon to come to court. But last I checked, a dead person can talk. So when you show up and say, well, sir, you know, Francois, you know, you've sinned before God, and here's the devil now who's prosecuting you, you deserve to die. What do you plead? Well, I could either plead guilty or not guilty, but the problem is I can't talk because I'm dead. That's the power of water baptism, because you buried. You're dead in Christ. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul is reminding us of in Romans chapter 6. That is what baptism reminds us of. That which used to have power over you, that which used to condemn you, that which used to bring you down, that thing holds no longer holds any power over you because you are dead. They might try to resurrect you. One thing the enemy does well is that the enemy tries to resurrect your past. You can resurrect somebody's past, but if they're dead, you can't resurrect them. And that's the theology that Paul is laying down here. They said, don't you know? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? When Jesus died, by the way, Jesus not only brought down the schemes of the devil, he brought down all that was wrong. Jesus brought down, he dealt a death blow to death itself. So when you are baptized into the death, Christ Jesus, you were baptized into his death. When what Paul is saying by that is, the greatest enemy you could ever have in life, which is death, no longer has any power over you. Now, it's one thing for you to be challenged by sickness. It's one thing to be challenged by disease. It's one thing to be challenged by, you name it. But the greatest enemy is death. Now, Jesus is saying, look, here's what I offer you. I offer you not only a new life, but I offer you total victory. Total victory that everything that could have ever held you back can no longer hold you back. Because when you are in me, you are secure. No wonder Paul says in Corinthians, if somebody is in Christ, you are a new creation. Of course you got to be a new creation. Because the only way now you could be walking around and live the victorious life you're living, having been dead, the only way that that's possible is if and only if the person I'm looking at now is new. That's the only way. The old person is dead. Look, go around, look for the old me, you won't find it. All the receipts, burned. All the evidence, destroyed. What do you plead, Francois? And at that point, here's what Jesus says. Well, you remember the Bible says, when the devil calls you before the throne of heaven to accuse you, we have an advocate before the Father. Jesus Christ himself now shows up on your behalf and says, Father, not guilty. I don't have to show up to court. Ooh. I don't have to show up because I've got somebody who stands on my behalf. That's what it means to be buried into the death of Jesus Christ and be raised from the dead, just like he was raised from the dead. Because now where you stand, it's not you standing, it's Christ standing in your stead. That is what baptism, water baptism reminds us of. Isn't that great news? That it's not me.
Oh, they wanted to call me to court.
But I'm asleep.
Jesus Christ shows up on my behalf. And then enters a plea on my behalf. And then the plea is not guilty. Why? Because he had already taken my condemnation. It's not that I wasn't guilty. It's not that I couldn't have been guilty. But he took it on himself on the cross. He says all of that stuff, all of the things that he did wrong, all of the things that he was planning on doing wrong, all of the things that he did wrong he didn't even realize were wrong. I'm taking it all. And I'm dying with it. And so that when I die with it, it's done with. It's destroyed. It's eliminated. It's obliterated. It's erased. It's, I don't know. You go open the dictionary, find all the synonyms. It's done, done, done. That's what Jesus Christ does. Now, if you haven't been baptized yet, you can't keep going on and dating the Lord like that. That commitment's got to be made. Because the offering is so great. What he offers is so precious, so wonderful, that you don't want to leave that on the table. It's too good. You got to take it. And if you've been baptized now, what a wonderful thing to rejoice in what Jesus Christ offers. Let me take a few more minutes to share with you a couple more things about water baptism. And by the way, the reason why it's immersion, just on technical grounds, the reason why it's immersion is because the word baptism itself is from the Greek word baptizo, which means to submerge, to immerse. That's actually why. That's why those of us with the understanding and persuasion that baptism is by dunking somebody in water, the reason why we believe that is because the Greek word itself in the New Testament means to be submerged, baptizo, right? And there are many other places you can look at that in Scripture. Baptism also is by faith, right? You do it because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism offers it ushers us in, or at least it offers, or it symbolizes that we've entered into a new covenant. Into a new covenant membership. When we get baptized, we're being baptized into a body as well. So which means, you see, you get baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, right? According to Romans 6. But you also get baptized into a new body. Meaning you join in a new fellowship. That's another thing. So if before I didn't have a family, guess what? The moment I give my life to Jesus Christ and I get baptized, I have joined a new family that's so large that I can't even count its members. You know why that's true? I'll tell you why that's true. You say it all the time. You don't even realize that it's true. When we get baptized, we're joining a new family. What is the disciples' prayer? Remember when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them one thing? By the way, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them only one thing. No other thing. They didn't ask Jesus to teach them do miracles, to teach them to raise people from the dead. They only asked him for one thing. What was that? How to pray, right? Teach us to pray. And then Jesus taught them to pray how? What was the first two letters in that prayer? The first two words in that prayer. Our Father. So when you get baptized, you're joining a family where now all around the world, all of those who've gotten baptized as well into Jesus Christ, they are saying one thing, our Father. So it doesn't matter in what language they say it. They're saying our Father. So right now, right at this moment, there's a Chinese brother or sister that you've yet to meet. Why? Because we're all called to that same Father. Our Father. It doesn't matter what language. It could be in Arabic. Our Father who is in heaven. It doesn't matter what time of the day. It doesn't matter what time zone. Our Father who is in heaven. So when you get baptized, you're joining that body. You're joining that family. That is what now the Apostle Peter reminds us of.
First Peter chapter 1. Isn't baptism great? Now you see why baptism is exciting? You see why we got to get baptized when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord? And Beth, I'm pretty sure after the service, you're going to be getting a lot of requests. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. This is, all men are like grass. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. What? Through the living and enduring word of God. It is the very word of God that tells you, look, this is what Jesus Christ offers. This is the provision that he makes through the gospel. And this is the ordinance and the command that he passes on to us. If you receive that word, there's life in it. There's life in it. That's the spiritual focus of baptism. And now membership in the local church happens through that imperishable word that we receive, through that imperishable word that we believe in. So we can now see the meaning of baptism is woven together with membership in the people of God. I need to expand on that because the First Peter passage didn't go too deep into it. But let me say a few more things. Maybe that will clarify it a little bit more. We can see that baptism is woven together with membership in the people of God. And since the local church is an expression of that people, baptism is closely connected to membership in the local church. Now, in the New Testament, being a Christian, being baptized, belonging to the New Covenant people of God, and being a member of the local church were all linked together. Now, this is what I need to establish. This is what I need to clarify, or at least expand on. In the New Testament, when someone says they were Christian, being baptized, being a Christian, belonging to the New Covenant people of God, being a member of a local church, were all one and the same thing. So, which means you can't just say, I will have this part of the benefit, not that other part. I will just be a Christian, but I'll just stay home. I'll just be a Christian, but I won't get baptized. I will be a Christian, but I won't be associated with other Christians. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Being a Christian, being baptized, belonging to the people of God, belonging to the local church, are one and the same. You cannot be a... And that's what baptism is all reminding us of. That's why it's not right in the American church that people will just say, you know what, I just follow all the preachers online that I can find, but I don't belong to any local church. What you're basically saying is, I'm not a Christian. Because to be a Christian is to belong to others, to belong to one another in Christ. That is the imperishable seed that we've received. That is the word that gives us life, that gives life to that community that we belong to. Now, if you try to pull one of those stunts, you are not only shortchanging yourself, but you're not living to the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is, I am a Christian. I receive Christ Jesus as Lord. I belong to the community of God's people. I belong to the community of God's people. I've got no choice. I don't have an excuse. I belong to the people of God. You know, one of the things I love doing when I travel, I travel quite often to other countries. One of the things that I always love doing, it doesn't matter where I am, I always try to find a church. I was working in Germany at some point, and I was just, you know what, I'm going to go to the German church. I had no idea what they were saying, except for amen. I mean, nothing. But guess what? I was among God's people. I belonged to these people. I didn't understand what they were saying. We smile at each other.
And then I made my way out. But there is something precious about belonging to God's people. My wife and I, we went to Dominican Republic. We went to a church. I remember that was probably one of the most powerful church services we've ever attended. We went to a church service. I mean, the way these people worshiped, I had never witnessed anything like this. These are some of the poorest people we've had the privilege to be with. They worshiped the Lord with everything they had. That brought tears to my eyes. Guess what? We belong to these people because they are God's people. They are calling on the name of God the Father, our Father who is in heaven. That's the same word you say. It's the same Father you cry out to. We belong to the same family. Baptism reminds us of that. Baptism is what reminds you of it. And last but not least, so we can make time. Baptism is for believers only. It's an expression of faith. It's an expression, and therefore only for believers. Our understanding of the New Testament is that the meaning of baptism includes the fact that it is an expression of faith of the one being baptized. Baptism is never forced on people, but it is a command of the Lord. So which means those who are going to get baptized today, I've sat with them. Others in our community, I've heard their testimony. They believe in Jesus Christ. And before I put them in the water, I'm going to ask them to, you know, confess before you all. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe God raised him from the dead? I mean, they're going to confess to that. And upon their confession of faith, we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is what this is. And then they're gonna seal, right, that commitment to this body and to all of God's people all over the world. Let me end now with two passages, Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, and then the very passage that Beth started the service with from Philippians, because I think that is such a powerful passage to do a send-off. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. In him, meaning in Christ, also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh. By the circumcision of Christ, so Paul speaks of circumcision, by the way, in made without hands. When Paul says circumcision made without hands, that term is the spiritual aspect of circumcision. In the old, I won't take too long on that. But you know, in the Old Testament, they used to actually cut off part of the human flesh. That was a physical act. But when Paul is talking about circumcision from a spiritual standpoint, it's saying, take that same understanding of you were something is cut off from you, which means it no longer belongs to you. Take it from that same perspective, that when you belong to Christ, when you enter into that moment of being buried in that water, your past is done. Something is cut off from you. It no longer belongs to you. So circumcision today has meaning for the Christian not as a physical act, but as a spiritual act of Christ in which he cuts away the old sinful body and makes us new. I will even stretch this. I'm going to stretch this, I don't think I'm going to be saying something in error here. Since Christ is offering us something new, what this is also saying is, if you've got something that is a disease, for example, that is passed down to your bloodline. I mean, your grandfather had it, your father had it, you have it. Guess what? What this is saying also is, since I am in Christ, even that very thing, I can by faith say it no longer has power over me. It stops with me. I believe we can even claim that. Because I'm new in Christ. I can claim all that he offers because he's made me new. So it's virtually synonymous with the new birth, with a new birth. It is virtually like that. It's as if you being washed means you're being born again. Not that you are not already born again, but what it symbolizes is that. So what Paul is saying to finish that reading is having been buried with him in baptism.
That's Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. Colossians chapter 2, 11 and 12. In him, Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Wow, you buried, but you don't remain dead, and that's the good news. You're dead to your sins, you're dead to your past, but you don't remain dead. Now you are alive. You're alive and you're victorious because Jesus is alive. Jesus is the conqueror. Jesus is victorious. That's what baptism in water reminds us of. So when I dunk you in that water, all of that is gone. All the past, all the evil stuff, all the things the enemy wanted to use to destroy you, that's dead. That's done. But when you come out of that water, it's like this is the moment now. It's like the sun is coming up. It's a new life. It's a new season. It's a new day. It's a fresh thing waiting for you. That is what Jesus Christ offers. That is the joy of baptism. And now, why don't we close with that passage in Philippians that our sister Beth read this morning, Philippians chapter 2, to my prophet. I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. And that's the declaration for you, Alex, and for you, Vanessa. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know, and this is it, this is the confession I pray that you make. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and becoming like him in his death, that's what happens to you in the water, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. When you come out of that water, that is a symbol of resurrection. That is like a down payment that one day you will be raised from the dead as well. That's the down payment to that. All of that is in the symbolism of baptism. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Alex, forgetting what is behind. Vanessa, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. You then, I'm going to put your name there. You press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called you heavenwards in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your word, for a reminder of what you offer us through water baptism. Thank you, Lord God, that those of us who have been baptized can rejoice in what you offer. But those of us who have not yet been baptized, Lord, that I pray this word would encourage them, would motivate them, would excite them to take their relationship deeper with you, Lord. We thank you, and as we go into that moment where Alex and Vanessa will make their confession of faith and they'll go in the water, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will take over this moment and that you will seal this moment until you return. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.